Hello, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. We're going to turn to our weather forecast first. We're looking at a potential severe weather outbreak across Michigan later today. It looks to be a rare situation for Michigan. The National Weather Service actually saying that there is now a moderate risk of severe weather. That is the second highest overall risk factor for severe weather. According to the National Weather Service, strong winds, heavy rain, and even tornadoes could be possible this afternoon into this evening. This is definitely a day where you'll want to pay attention to the weather situation. Make sure you have a way to quickly get weather alerts as they are issued, and it might be a good idea to go over your severe weather plan as well, especially if you have kids in the house. Make sure they know what to do should those sirens go off or severe weather hits. A group representing Midland and Gladwin County residents wants an independent review of the failures of two dams last month that created historic flooding in mid-Michigan. Steve Carmody reports.
State regulators and the company that owns the Edenville and Sanford dams have been ordered to perform forensic investigations into why the two dams failed on May 19th. But the Four Lakes Task Force wants a third-party investigation. The group was in the process of buying the dams before the disaster. Dave Kepler is the task force president.
It's a best practice if there's parties involved to pull themselves away and let it be truly independent.
The Four Lakes Task Force would like to see the Association of State Dam Safety Officials handle the investigation. Monday, Governor Gretchen Whitmer again expressed confidence that state regulators can conduct a thorough investigation. I'm Steve Carmody.
A recall petition against Governor Gretchen Whitmer will move forward. The Michigan Board of State Canvassers approved petition language on Monday. Chad Bozzi is with the committee to recall Governor Whitmer. He says he plans to start collecting signatures on July 1st.
The goal is 1.5 million. That way they can invalidate a ton of signatures.
Bozzi will have 60 days to collect roughly 1 million signatures. The petition cites several of Governor Whitmer's emergency orders during the COVID-19 pandemic as the reason for her recall. Traverse City's police chief says white supremacists tried to derail a protest over the killing of George Floyd over the weekend. Max Johnston reports the protest faced threats of violence for the week leading up to the event.
City Police Chief Jeff O'Brien said they found over 200 threatening social media posts that were behind the rumors. He said they were created by white supremacists posing as Antifa members.
So the alt-right was saying they were alt-left.
O'Brien said the department followed up on each threat with help from the FBI. Last Saturday's protest ended up going on peacefully. Organizers are now demanding policy changes from local law enforcement. O'Brien said he welcomes some of the proposals. In Traverse City, I'm Max Johnston.
While traditional movie theaters may be opening up relatively soon, there has also been a renewed interest in drive-in theaters, which offer a more socially distant movie viewing experience. Nick Westendorp reports.
There aren't a lot of drive-in theaters left in Michigan, even fewer in northern Michigan. You'll find them in Leelanau, Sanilac, and the UP. Eric Sherbenow is a member of the UP Film Union, involved with running the Manistique Drive-In. He says they usually work with local organizations, but recently there's been demand for more.
We have people contacting us constantly, aside from these organizations, just people in the public, kind of a little bit aggressively saying, how come you're not, you should be showing movies tonight? It just isn't that easy.
Sherbenow says they're working on hosting movies, but recently they've been looking at putting other events on the big screen as well. He says they're talking to musical artists and other performers about presenting some shows. Nick Westendorp, WCMU News.
Many organizations in the Midland community are recovering from flood damage last month, including the Midland Center for the Arts. They're hoping to soon reopen some programs for the summer. The Doan History Center, the Herbert H. Dow Museum, and the Carriage House Hall are among the buildings that were damaged by floodwaters. Terry Trotter is the president and CEO of the Midland Center for the Arts. She says plans are still up in the air as to how or when to make these facilities open to the public.
We're dealing with sort of two things here, right? We're going down the flood issues and how are we recovering from the challenges of flood, but then we've got the other side too, which is, you know, what are we allowed to do?
Trotter says she's unsure of the total cost of the damage, but it looks to be between $8 and $10 million. She says the Center for the Arts has already submitted a damage estimate to FEMA. In the interest of transparency, we do note that the Midland Center for the Arts is a financial supporter of this station. This story came to us from the Michigan News Group internship program. You can learn more about it in today's edition of the Midland Daily News. Protests in Flint over the last few weeks got a lot of national attention after a clip of the Genesee County Sheriff choosing to march with protesters went viral. Organizers say they appreciate police participating in the march, but that it's no substitute for real reforms. More from Ben Thorpe.
More than a week after Flint protests first made headlines, protesters are still showing up.
George Floyd!
At a protest this weekend, some said they had traveled to the city because of its reputation for peaceful demonstrations. Dana Wilford is a former Flint resident who now lives in Belding. She says she drove 2 hours to participate.
Honestly, because this is one of the only places that has had all peaceful protests. So I like the fact that, you know, Flint's doing it right.
Other protesters, like Flint resident Kenesha Bell, say they're grateful they could bring their kids.
And seeing how peaceful they were and just wanting to be in that crowd and help spread the awareness.
Organizers of the protests say their role is to keep the pressure on police and lawmakers to enact real reforms. Before marching, organizer DeJuan Robinson reminded protesters of their role.
I want to encourage you to be consistent, because you're talking about changing the course of history. It's not going to happen overnight. This is something that we got to be dedicated to a lifetime.
Protesters say they are looking for real reforms, not just in the city, but in the region. Terrell McDaniel is a Flint resident. He was reluctant to criticize city police, instead saying he has seen more problems with both the Genesee County Jail and the state police.
We have problems with the state police around here. And with the Genesee County Sheriff's Department, it's more of the county jail that we are having problems with, the situation that's going inside of there with black men inside of the county.
The county jail has received criticism for overcrowding and extensive delays in inmate cases. The Detroit News reported in December that in some instances, inmates have gone 4 years in jail without a conviction. Black Lives Matter has been meeting with local, state, and county police to talk about reforms they'd like to see. Johnny Franklin is with Black Lives Matter. He declined to discuss specific policies being pursued, but says the first meetings have been productive.
In Flint, we need to see real deal reform change.
Franklin added that while he appreciates the county sheriff's decision to march with protesters, it's not enough.
Are you walking with us in our acts for change, too? Like, it's not just walking with us out here. It looks good for the cameras. It looks good for, you know, how it's supposed to be. But are you going to walk with us when we actually act with a policy? Are you going to actually be with us in the rooms where we're trying to tell you what's wrong?
Franklin says ultimately there need to be mechanisms for holding officers and even the sheriff himself accountable. Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson, for his part, says he does believe in reform.
So when I look at police reform, a lot of it is we need to make sure that if there are bad acts, which there will be, bad acts of different police officers and bad decisions for different police officers, that we either train it out, we discipline it out, or we cut it out.
But, Sheriff Swanson says, that burden largely falls on police. He says he will continue to meet with Black Lives Matter because their voices need to be heard, but
we're not going to get everything that we want. They're not going to get everything that they want. The public is not going to get everything. But together, we're at least talking.
Whether those conversations alone will be enough for Flint organizers remains to be seen. In the meantime, though, they'll be protesting in the streets, trying to keep up pressure for real reforms.
No justice! No peace!
I'm Ben Thorpe, WCMU News.
And that is your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Wednesday, June 10th. I'm Mike Horace. Thanks for listening. Stay safe today. Again, a reminder to keep an eye to the sky and make sure you have a way to get weather warnings, because severe weather is expected this afternoon. Stay safe. We'll talk again tomorrow.